Take your Bibles. Let's look at that verse this morning. Look at the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 3, and verse 13. You know, it's a command in the Bible. The Bible says to honor those who deserve honor and to give them respect. Sometimes there's precious little of that that's given, particularly in Baptist circles. And I don't know why that is, but I think that we need to be better at that. And it's very important, in particular, when the Bible sets forth, here are the standards, here are the requirements for honoring certain individuals, that we follow those, and that we recognize that the Lord builds His church, but He chooses to use men as a blessing in our lives. You know, only God can give life, but we honor our parents because He used them to give life to us. And when people serve in the church, I think we have to understand that their service deserves our respect and deserves our honor. I want to begin reading, if I could, in verse 8 of 1 Timothy chapter 3. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. You know, it says, as I read this verse, that before you can become a deacon, by the way, how old were you when you first became a deacon? So you were in your 30s. Okay. Carol? Okay. Boy. So you were young guys at the time. Right. You know, the Bible says that even before a man can become a deacon, certain things have to be evident in their life. In the Bible, you don't give people a job to make them faithful. You don't hand out jobs to get people involved in the church. I realize that sometimes is a prevalent philosophy. Well, they're not attending as regularly as they ought, so let's give them a job. Well, hey, you laugh. You wouldn't believe the number of people who do things like that. That's not how it works. In the Bible, faithfulness is a prerequisite to the ministry, not just something that's, you know, concomitant, something that goes along with it. It's got to be a prerequisite. And it's interesting here, it has to be that this man is not only faithful in service, he's faithful in character. As you look at these requirements, they don't have a lot to do with the person's abilities. And they don't have a lot to do with the work that they've done. They have a lot to do with character. And before a man can even serve as deacon, he has to demonstrate things. And by the way, there are many men who demonstrate these qualities who will never serve as deacon. So when you're talking about a person serving as deacon, it's not as if every man who has these qualities serves as deacon. It's only some of those men. And out of those men, it's interesting, he says here, for they that have are the King James and sometimes I don't like to criticize any translation, particularly the King James, but in modern English, the phrase use the office of deacon has kind of a bad connotation. You know, you're using it. You're using your office for some purpose. In the Greek, it's just the word they served as deacons. By the way, that's the same phrase that we see in verse 10. Let these also first be proved, then let them serve as deacon. Well, he says here, the ones that have served as deacon well. Everything that we do is going to have to meet a standard. By the way, let me stop for a second. Is anybody else but me warm? today. Yes? Maybe I could get the ushers, the ones up in front in particular, and then back as demand gets it. I'm not going to have you getting hot on me again today. If you go to sleep, it's going to be my fault today, and I'll blame myself. Okay, when you're looking at the scriptures and it talks about offices and positions that people hold, the Bible says that it's required in stewards that they be found faithful. The Bible says those who have used the office well. That means that you are going to be evaluated and judged for your service in the church. That's something to think about. We're in a time when it seems to me that so many people worry so much about getting into political office, they don't think quite as much about the fact that they're going to be judged fairly or unfairly by history. How's our process coming along here? I notice, oh great, thank you. That no matter how you obtain the office, no matter what the circumstances are that have to do with whether you expected to get it or not, you're going to have to answer for everything you did. So much of American politics is spent on getting people into office. And yet, I don't know if I'd want to be president. Because every bird and his brother writes the history books and rewrites the history books. I personally thought that the 80s were a pretty prosperous time for America. Now I'm finding out, if I read the newspapers, that administration was horrible and none of us had any money and things were... I don't know, I guess I must have slept through the 80s. I thought, things seemed to be pretty good then. So no matter what you do, somebody at some point is going to review whether you did it well or not. The higher up you go in terms of visibility, there is no higher up hierarchy in the Lord's church. At least there ought not to be. By higher up, I mean the more visible your ministry becomes. The more that people see what you do, the more that you're serving in a more specific position, the more you're going to be reviewed for what you do, the greater the standard. To whom much is given, much is also required. And I think God has given much to a person. He's laid a greater responsibility on them when he puts them in the office of deacon. And it says here, those who've served well as deacon. And it's a wonderful thing when you can look back on a ministry and say that person has served well as a deacon. You know, longevity does not always, in every circumstance, indicate that you've done a good job at it. Castro's been in Cuba for quite a while, and we don't necessarily infer from that he's the model dictator. He's one of the few ones left, but his is an electable job, you understand. But he's going to face the same kind of review that Carl and Carol will one day, the Lord's review. But here on earth, we also review what a person has done. What he's saying here, I think, is that you can look at what a person does and you can judge the quality of their work. You can judge the quality of their character. I think it's more than work because notice what he comes from. Notice verse 12. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well, for they that have used the office of deacon well purchase to themselves a good standing. He says it's interesting that the deacons have to have the same responsibility towards their family that he lays on the pastor. That you've got to have a relationship with your family. And that it's how you rule in your family that's going to demonstrate your qualifications for being a deacon. That is a frightening thing. That really is. Because there is no more difficult job in the world than being a husband and a father. Unless it's being a mother and a wife. Those are so difficult. And if I understand the Bible, those aren't two separate responsibilities. Those aren't two separate parts of your life. They're one and the same. And what you are looking at when you see people, as we've honored people today and are honoring people today, who have served well in that position, that means we have seen in their life and in their marriage those things that we expected to see in a deacon. Just flip over with me, if you will, to chapter 5, and notice that he says the same thing about the other office that he mentions here in verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. I don't myself think it's a coincidence that the first reference that he makes to elders ruling in he uses the term bishop, and I believe the two of them are absolutely synonymous and used synonymously in the New Testament. But he says, he had said in chapter 3, the bishop must be one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. That doesn't mean you drop them all the time. That means with a respectable mien, that people can look at you and say you're handling that correctly. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? And then later on he's going to say, and those that rule the church of God well. It is possible to rule your own home well as a pastor and not to do a very good job in the church. That's also possible. And he says those people are worthy of double honor, especially if they handle the word of God well. It's interesting where God puts his priorities for the ministry and where God puts the honor for the ministry. But both of the offices, pastor and deacon, he says, here are the qualifications, and they have to do with ruling well your own house. And then he turns right around and says, and when they do a good job of it, and when that's reflected in the job they do in the church, they rule their own homes well, and then they do well as a pastor, they do well as a deacon, that's when they're worthy of honor. And that's when they're especially singled out for honor. And that's what he says when they come back. Those who have used the office of a deacon well, the King James says, purchase to themselves. It means they obtain for themselves. It's something that comes as a result of their endeavors. Now, none of us would stand up here and say that I did it. We all know the Lord does it. But the Lord, just as he judges you for the works that you do, he also praises you for the works that you do. It says in the book of Proverbs about the virtuous woman, the works of her own hands will praise her. The results of what she does will bring praise to her, or vice versa, for the person who doesn't have that. Well, here what we're saying is we recognize that we're praising people not just for their character, but we're also praising them because they've put effort into it and they've obtained it for themselves. This church has been through a lot in the last 40 years, many things. I think one of them you mentioned, the move from down in the valley up here. That changed the character of your church. I'm not sure that you've ever stopped to reflect on that, but as a pastor, you cannot go from a little valley downtown church, move up here with brand new facilities, and it doesn't just change your facilities, it will change the nature of your church. And I don't, maybe you never thought about that beforehand, but it changed the very character of your church. How you minister, how you were perceived, how things work, it changed it all. And this church, through God, it's been, 180 years now that God's had a ministry here, and so many things. And one of the blessings that this church has enjoyed is men who have had a long term of ministry that have been a benefit to the church. There have been more of a few instances in the Lord's work where men who have had a long term of ministry, particularly as a deacon, and it hasn't ended up to the benefit of the church. Maybe you have never seen this. Maybe you've been blessed and never been in a church where you've had long term deacons and pretty soon they're running the church and pretty soon the church can't do anything. And pretty soon your deacons are no longer serving, they're ruling just because of longevity. And maybe you don't realize how unique it is that you have deacons who are deacon emerituses who serve the Lord for so long, and they're not ruling your church. They're still serving your church. They're still working in your church. Maybe you don't understand how rare it is that you get deacons who are workers as opposed to deacons who are committee members who meet once a month to set policy and to talk about what goes on and to drink a little coffee and to get an explanation from the pastor of why things aren't going well. That's a very common phenomenon in churches. But when you get deacons who serve, who fulfill, I've heard lots of explanations about what the word deacon means, the roots of the word deacon. I'm not convinced we really know what it means in terms of its etymology, where it comes from. But it involves working, serving. Pastors are called to do the work of deaconing, ministering. And that's what you're asking people to do. And just like being a mother, a mother is a deacon in the sense that she ministers and serves. And if you put it in that perspective, you understand what a burden it can be to do that job year after year. It's not the most thankful of positions. It's a frustrating thing because there's so much to do. You look at the building, and I come on a day like today and say, beautiful. Carl looks at the building and he says, you know, we got to do something about that siding in the back. You know, I don't dare tell Mr. Scriber that there's something to be done around the church. I don't dare mention it to him because he'll be here doing it. You know, and do you remember the stage we had last year up here in the front for the puppet show, the Iwana puppet show? I really liked that puppet show. That was a huge stage. Well, Mr. Scriber set it up. It's still down there, in fact. We still have it in the corner of one of the classrooms. He not only builds things, he keeps them forever, too, I've noticed down there. Which Kay is glad about, because if he didn't keep it here, it would be back home in her basement. So, but I don't think we can quite conceive of, it's not just longevity. It's not just that they've spent so many years. It's so hard to do it well for so many years. It's so hard not to let it slide. It's so hard not to take it so personal, and it's such a burden that you can be pleasant and enjoyable. Again, let me compare it to being a mom. There are times when moms don't feel pleasant. There are times when you've been ministering to such an extent that you don't look at your children and say, they are such a warmth joy to my heart. You know, there are, right when you finish doing something for them, you don't have that warm, fuzzy feeling like, you know, your husband says, you know, you really scalped those potatoes tonight, you know. And he says, oh, okay, and but that's okay because the peas were a little cold. And then he keeps going on, and you've prepared that meal, and you've washed up, and you've done all that. And then you know that after the meal, he's going to get up and do the dishes, of course. And you're sitting there getting that warm feeling in your heart. You were ministering to him, but it doesn't always produce that really nice feeling. Well, that happens in deacons, and you should be aware of that. That deacons minister and serve, but it is so easy for bitterness to creep up in their hearts. That they see things that aren't done year after year. That it's a frustration because they want things to get done, and it's such a demand because it's a part-time job being a deacon. It's not just a calling, it's a part-time job where you've got to take hours after you come home from work to do that. The people who do our lawn, this is an enormous lawn, a beautiful piece of property, but it takes a lot of work to go into this. And I think that we have to understand that the longevity isn't just, oh, you put in your time, give them a gold watch. It's hard to do it for that long and to keep their hearts right and to keep their character right. You know how hard it is to minister to your family when you're a deacon? It takes a special attitude and heart towards the ministry that your family will be blessed because you put time into the church. Frankly, I'm of the opinion that sometimes deacons put time into the church, they ought to be putting into their families. But I'll tell you, we were blessed by the time they put into the church, whether they should have been putting into their families or not. And it's amazing how much God blesses our families in spite of ourselves. Pastors, the same way. I don't know if I'm going to stand before the Lord and have a judgment that I balanced my family time and my church time well. I really don't know. All I can say is that with my conscience before God, I tried my best to keep it right. But what I strove for was that God would bless my family because of what I did. I won't get there, but in 2 Timothy, the first chapter, Paul talks about the various people who helped him, not in official capacity as deacons, but as helpers. And one, the house of Onesiphorus, he says, these people, he says, you know, may the Lord bless your household because you were so refreshing to me. You refreshed me. He said, I was in prison and you weren't put off by the fact I was in prison and you went out of your way to help me and you found me. Well, I think that God does bless people who serve well in their office. He does do that. And I think that when we look at this passage, it says they obtain for themselves a good degree. That doesn't mean we're giving them, you know, a PhD, you know, doctor of deaconing or anything. The word degree means, you know, like you look at the degrees on the temperature and where does the temperature stand, you know, at what point is the temperature? This is also, by the way, especially in the Old Testament, it's the word for steps, that things go up by steps, they go up by degrees, and a person has a good standing because they stand on a little higher step. They're recognized. And, you know, you see them, you know, like at the Olympics, you know. They don't just simply get medals.
They used to have three different size steps. Now I notice they have two. That bronze and silver are basically the same height, and then gold is one height ahead. And again, this isn't talking about a hierarchy in terms of making decisions, in terms of being unequal as human beings and brothers in the Lord, but in terms of recognition, some people stand higher than others. And that's not always fair. There's a lot of times when people get recognition and those who really have served God don't get it. It's really nice when people who deserve the recognition get it. And that's what's wonderful. You see so much of the other that people who should be recognized aren't. Well, let's rejoice when people who should be recognized are. Because he said they purchased for themselves a good standing, a good reputation, a good consideration. I can't avoid it, and maybe you can't, but we focus on certain people. And call them heroes, celebrities, whatever you want to call them, we focus on them. And they're the people that we turn our attention towards. There was a football game last week, and one of the players was named Joe Montana. And I got to tell you, that's all I cared about in that game. I happen to like that particular football player. There are thousands of people who paid millions of dollars between the amount they paid for tickets and the amount they paid for refreshments and the amount they paid for paraphernalia and the amount they paid for advertising because of people who have names in professional sports, people who have names in music or entertainment industry. But the people who are to be celebrities in God's eyes are the deacons. You know, it's really hard. Every time you see people tend to honor their own. You go to the sports banquet, and you're the skinny guy with the big glasses. At least I was. You know, and all these big guys are coming out there, and they're getting the sports awards. And they're like, blah, 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 blah. You know, oh, wouldn't that be nice someday? You know, I was on the teams, so I'm not saying that. It's just I didn't get the awards. Then they'd come for the academic awards, and all the sports guys would be, blah, 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 and all us skinny guys would be up there with our pocket protectors, you know, pulling in the awards and whatnot, you know. You get awards for all different kinds of things, and there's all kinds of recognition. But I want to tell you, the recognition that we give today is recognition that God gives eternally. And it's very hard to keep your focus on that and to say there's all kinds of recognition in this world. But somebody who obtains a good standing before the Lord, that's something that will follow them forever. I don't know whether the church has ever made a formal decision on this. And I'm not speaking church policy. I like coming into a church where I don't find people's names tacked on the end of the pews. I like not having tags on the pews with people's names. When people do it, they mean well. But you don't honor people by putting their name on things in the church. You don't honor people by putting their name on the end of a pew. What? So you can sit on me for the rest of my life, you know? Maybe that's ironic Baptist honoring. We'll put your name on a pew, and every time we sit down, we'll think about you, you know? Every time we shift a little because the message is boring, I'll think of you. Well, no, that's not how Baptists honor people. You're honored during your life, and you're honored for that which you do, and you're honored because the ministry that you have sticks with people. And there have been people in this church and their ministry, whenever Milo Thompson's name is brought up in this church, there's honor connected to it. I don't see his name anyplace, by the way. You want to look back through our records, and you can find Milo Thompson's name as pastor. But you don't find it here. And I'll tell you something. When you look at right now, even at Baptist Bible College, you try to find a publication that's got Milo Thompson's picture in it. It isn't so easy to find. Some pictures are easier to find. But Pastor Thompson, Dr. Thompson, now you won't find his picture. His recognition in this church now, even in his present ministry, that's not a person who's recognized because he's promoted himself, because his picture's there and his name's on things. But it's the quality of the person that's honored and remembered. And the same with deacons. It's the good standing that we, in our estimation, we've said that's something to look towards. That's something respectable. That's what I want to have. And that's what I'm looking towards. But I'll tell you, the real blessing for these people is what it says at the end. And great boldness in the faith. Look back with me at one of the qualifications for deacons in verse 9. I don't know why we spend so much time exegeting and expositing verse 8 that they can't be, they must be grave and they can't be double-tongued and much wine, not given to much wine. But then in verse 9, here's the key to their character and their Christian character. They're holding fast to the mystery of the faith and a pure conscience. The Bible says that the tremendous thing, as I understand the mystery of the faith, I think he's talking about what's in verse 16, the mystery of godliness. And that's the fact that God was actually manifest in the flesh. That it's not like there's heaven up here and the earth down here and religion is somehow trying to find out what's going on up there. But God sent his Son into this world so that we could live like him. And God has manifested himself in the earth, and that I don't simply have some kind of religion of all these things up here. I live my religion every day. It's real. God is manifest in me. And I think, at least in my opinion, that those two are talking about the same thing. Here are men who hold on to, who observe, who believe, and who practice the mystery of our faith, the reality of an indwelling religion that shows in their life. And I think that's why he says here, that's why they get great boldness in the faith, great confidence in the faith. You know, it's so easy for some people to serve in a position and get cynical. All you have to do to get, there's a saying they have in Pennsylvania that if you want to have respect for things, don't watch how they're made. Whether it comes to sausages or law, you don't want to watch how they make them or you'll never love them again. So, you know, if you want to have respect for the legislature, don't watch how laws are actually all the dirty double dealing and sausages. Well, we'll leave that to the people in Pennsylvania. But there's so much that goes into the underworkings of a church that so often you can get involved, and when you're on the deacon board, it can be a discouraging thing. You see the weaknesses of people. You see the hurts and pains of people. You've got to worry about the day-to-day getting things done. And the deacons, more than anybody else, see the faults of the pastor who's trying to lead them and trying to work with them. And that can be discouraging. So many things, and they're trying to work, and yet it's not because they just had some good qualities that the Lord put into them, but it's because they were practicing the mystery of our faith, that Jesus Christ was manifested in the flesh to show that God lives and operates in this world, not up there. God operates right down here. And that Jesus Christ came, and they're living that out, and they've got a great boldness because they can stand up in front of you and say, to the day that I pass on to be with my Lord in glory, he's alive and he's living in my life. And it wasn't just that I had an office, and it wasn't just that I made some decisions, and it wasn't just that I put up a few buildings, a few hundred, by the time you've repaired one many times. It was that I live for Christ. And there's the great boldness and the confidence, not in what they've done, but in the mystery. By the way, a mystery isn't something that's weird and hidden in the sense that I'll never know it. A mystery is something that you couldn't have known except God showed it to you, and he has showed it to you. And that's the point about deacons. God has shown them that he's real. They've seen it in their life. They've seen it in their families. And I want to tell you, we've seen it in what they've done in our church. And so, well, I want to take some time in the service this morning. When we finish the service, I'd like for the bells and for the scribers to stand in the back and for you to express some appreciation to them as we leave today. Let's close with prayer. Oh, Father, you have been so kind to me. You've blessed me. You've put me into the ministry and allowed me to serve with some wonderful saints, with some quality men. You've not put me in a place, Father, where I've ever been alone. You've put me where I can find and work with and be blessed with these kinds of people. And our church appreciates it so much. We know it comes from you, and we trust you in this and look for more. I pray that you might just bless all of our men as they serve, and bless us, Father, with our recognition of those in positions of responsibility. Help us to do it right and to do it well. And what we say and what we do, we leave in your hands this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.